Today in the Chokeslam Wrestling Report, we're going to be talking about the stupidity in the wrestling world as Adam Scherr, a.k.a. Braun Strowman, continues to blackball himself from the independent scene. Also, we're going to be talking about Tony Khan's tragic debut of Mr. Jiayin Singh. I have a lot of people talking. We're going to have AEW news and reviews. We're going to have WWE news, MLW news, NWA news, New Japan. We're going to have everything, that and much more on the Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
Here we go.
Hit the music.
Welcome to another episode of the Chokeslam Wrestling Report. I am your host, the infamous Ultimate One, and today we are here once again to do the wrestling roundup and talk about all the crazy stuff that happened this week. And again, this is Saturday, so pretty much hope you like the new layout that I did. You know what I'm saying? Big ups to my boy WG Pro, who did the whole animation introduction that I have here in the beginning before the video starts. Shout out to him. So go check him out on Twitter. That's WWG Pro at Twitter. Check him out. Again, thank you very much for the animation that you did for me. This is something new for the podcast. For the first thing I want to talk about today is the stupidity that I continue to see in the wrestling business. So we're going to start talking about Mr. Braun Strowman. Mr. Braun Strowman again on the news, again being blackballed. He claimed he's been blackballed by Tony Khan, but then again, he is the same guy who continues to open his mouth and putting his foot in his mouth every time he decides to say something. If you guys know pretty much Braun Strowman right now, or Adam Scherr, as he's been called, Titan, him and EC3 are planning to do a new promotion called Control Your Narrative, something that Mr. EC3 came up with a couple of years ago, and it's been working when they were doing these little small videos on YouTube and everything, and it was working. They made their presence felt back at the Final Battle Ring of Honor, the last show that they had before they went in hiatus. But as you could well see, the EC3 and Adam Scherr decided that they're going to do a new promotion. And this promotion, you cannot do two paces with Cedars and no super kicks. See how far that goes. But as far as Mr. Adam Scherr, a.k.a. Braun Strowman, he is opening his mouth again. As of this week, he pretty much started getting into it with Buff Bagwell. Buff Bagwell put something on Twitter. Adam Scherr decided to go back and forth with Buff Bagwell, even putting I believe Buff Bagwell's mugshot with his running with the laws last year and all that stuff, which pretty much a lot of people were like, what is your problem? Why are you doing this? Bagwell, of course, came back and did almost the same thing to Adam Scherr by putting, I believe it was a 2009-2010 mugshot of Braun Strowman getting himself in trouble with some speedboat tickets, something to that effect. And then once he got caught in the middle of the situation, he tried to backtrack, apologize to Buff Bagwell, and then went and decided to go and use the fan as the enemies. He said, we supposed to support each other and be there for each other. You know, the fans are like pretty much saying the fans are the enemy. And in reality, he was the one who started everything. With him saying that, pretty much brought out another wrestler in the mix by the name of Jordan Oliver. And if you guys don't know who Jordan Oliver is, this is a great, talented young man. He wrestles in Game Changer Wrestling. At one point, he was part of MLW at one point, you know, and he pretty much put Adam Scherr on blast. He said, this is the same guy that was on Twitter sometime last year or 2 years ago talking crap about the indie wrestlers. And if you guys don't remember that, I could backtrack and tell you what was all that about. He decided back in 2020 when the pandemic hit, decided to speak about the indie wrestlers not saving their money. This all started when Eva Uno put something on Twitter saying that he felt bad for the indie industry because of the pandemic, a lot of the wrestling shows were shut down. So that means the shutdown, money is not to be made. Adam Scherr decided, as Braun Strowman, to belittle the indie industry by saying that these guys never save money. He doesn't feel bad for them. And I remember seeing this, and I remember saying, he better hope to God that WWE doesn't let him go and he ends up in the indies. Sure enough, he's been let go, I think it was almost a year and a half, something like that. And he hasn't been signed by anybody. Here he is, EC3 and him trying to create a promotion or launch a promotion from the ground up. And he's over here blackballing himself and whatnot to every major company. Okay. He even went after Tony Khan, saying that Tony Khan does not allow his wrestlers to wrestle at CYN. CYN hasn't even started yet. So what are you talking about? So he kind of made fun of Tony Khan and that, you know, AEW Dynamite is garbage compared to Raw, whatever. You know, he's trying to save his face as far as WWE, case WWE calls him back. And he blackballed himself. Now, they're not gonna send none of their wrestlers to sin. You know, you're going to deal with indie guys. So pretty much you put your foot in your mouth, and now you're in a situation that, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous if you really think about it, you know. And now he's looking stupid. He's looking real stupid. Braun Strowman done every time I turn around, he's saying something stupid. He reminds me of Ryback. Him and Ryback should team up and be part of that Control Your Narrative promotion. Because Ryback is another one. He opening his mouth, putting his foot in his mouth. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with Braun Strowman or Adam Scherr or Titan, the way he was called. When I saw him in Final Battle coming out as Titan, I said, oh, cool. You know, he deserves, you know, a new beginning. You know, new journey, new look, new everything. No, but he's doing stupidity out there that I just don't understand what the hell's going on. You know, you know, he's talking so much crap about Control Your Narrative, like this promotion is going to go places. You haven't even started yet. You don't even know where you're going to get. You're going to deal with indie guys. How many of these people are going to forget that you can't use a super kick, that you can't do Super Suicida? You can't do none of that. How many wrestlers are you going to get, you know? So pretty much you just burn the bridge with AEW. AEW will never send anybody to sin. And who knows if this we ever get launched. It's going to be like Global Force Wrestling. Remember when Jeff Jarrett trying to, you know, launch that promotion, which I thought that because they did a little something with New Japan, it was going to be big. That never even got launched. Impact tried to help him out. And to this day, I think Jeff Jarrett right now has got Impact on court or whatever it is. So it's just ridiculous. Another ridiculous situation that I saw was this week in AEW Dynamite. I saw what I call the new Great Khali 2.0, or the stepson of Great Khali. When the match between Minoru Suzuki and Samoa Joe was going, I mean, this match was a dream match. And the ending of it, they pretty much destroy the ending of this match by them putting the lights out. And then when the lights came back, it was this gigantic dude, 7 feet tall guy, that nobody knew who in the world was this person. Now, everybody was wondering why in the world would Tony Khan do something stupid like this in the middle of a great match with the things he'd been doing lately that has been on point. Well, it turns out that Warner Media and Discovery made a deal with the market in India. So they were trying to put that guy's, Sajjan Singh, whatever his name is, as a guy like same thing that Great Khali did a couple of years ago. This backfired real bad because then you see Singh doing the same move that Great Khali did to The Undertaker, to Oliver Bautista, the squashing of the head. It was the same thing. And it was a bad, bad, bad debut for this wrestler. They should have never put the lights out. They should have just left the guy come in, this humongous guy, and just clotheslined the shit out of Samoa Joe and did that instead of what they did. You know, even though they're saying that the guy's working hard, he's been learning the business itself, wrestling, training for wrestling for a year, and he has a good attitude, whatever. But you know what's the word? First impression counts. And the first impression they gave was, who in the world was this wannabe Great Khali dude that they actually brought in? I was just stunned by seeing this. I was like, it left me with a bad taste in my mouth that I'm like, wow, AEW is going WWE route. And I'm like, I mean, my head was just like, oh, listen, if they turn out to be WWE, I'm done with doing wrestling podcasts and all that because I'm not going to be covering none of this shit. As it turned out again, the hours continue, and Tony Khan even tweeted that Sajjan Singh was All Elite, and then he had to erase it or delete the tweet. He caught a lot of backlash for this, and a lot of people was not happening. They were like, how in the world you had a great show and you end it with this crap? Because that's exactly what it was, crap. I could not believe it. I'm like, what is he thinking? Now, and he's supposed to do a major announcement next week. Now, everybody's scared. What is going to be your major announcement? Unless they're going to do, there's word around that they might do a New Japan AEW cross-promotion coming up for the Best of Super Juniors. We don't know, but right now, this Singh, people are saying to give him a chance, you know, if he's going to beat the muscle of Jay Lethal for now, you could work on that. But if this happened, this reminds me of the deathmatch explosion between Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega when everybody was expecting a big explosion and we all had fizzle. That's what we had. Or when the Dark Order first appear in AEW, and they were supposed to know, they were known as the Super Smash Brothers, and nobody knew who the hell it was because they had all the little minions and all this going on. That was another one that we saw. So, or the Matt Hardy falling from the scaffold and hurting his head. So there's been a couple of situations that everybody's been questioning. They're questioning Tony Khan for what he does, but this was crazy. This was something they should have never done. That should have never happened, in my opinion. So, I don't know. We will see. We will see what happened from here to the following week and where this lands. But right now, I don't know. I don't know. We'll be right back with more Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
The Pro Wrestling Vault. 35 short stories, including Harley Race, Ricky Morton, Tracy Smothers, and Tim Storm. Along with 300 photos from the independent scene, taken from Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. Get your book today by going to WrestleVille.com or LanceByChance.com. WrestleVille, it's where wrestling lives.
Hi. This is James Rodens from the WNR podcast, and you are listening to the Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
So let's start talking about WWE. Now, I don't really watch WWE like I used to back in the days, and you guys know that. With those who follow me, you know how critical I am of WWE. But I did see this week a little bit of Raw. I did not see the match between Miz and Cody Rhodes, but I did see the Miz TV segment with Cody Rhodes. It's funny how the Cody Rhodes said a couple of words that Miz had to correct him. They still don't know if this was a pretty much Cody being Cody, just being daring of saying certain words that WWE has already banned, if you really think about it. And he used the word wrestler and belt. And those two words were corrected by The Miz this week, as we saw that when Cody said that he was going after the belt, The Miz said a belt was something that holds your pants. Okay. And then when Cody said wrestlers, The Miz then said superstars. Now, it's crazy because those words have not been used in WWE TV for quite a while. And to see that Cody decided to be daring, or I don't know if this is part of the script, to actually, you know, use those words. Now, the situation that I see that Miz and Cody were going at it, I mean, to me, they're going to have to build Cody up if he's going to be the one that is going to face Roman Reigns next. Because yesterday I was at a House of Glory show, and I will be talking about that later. And the conversation we had was, who is going to be next to face Roman Reigns? Roman Reigns right now, and it's funny how WWE, it's not actually mentioning this, that Roman Reigns legitimate got hurt against Brock Lesnar. Supposedly, Brock Lesnar, when he put the Kimura on him, I think he legitimate hurt Roman Reigns. And that's why the match ended the way it did, because Roman Reigns was hurt. Now, they have not mentioned that on WWE TV. You have noticed that Roman Reigns was not at SmackDown this week, unless I missed something, but I know I saw SmackDown. And he was not in the show. The Usos were, and he's not on the show. The last thing we saw with Roman was when he hugged Nakamura, and then the Usos double super kicked him and knocked him out. Now, the person that I was having this conversation with, he said, well, Nakamura could be next. I'm like, no. Why are you trying to pull Nakamura to wrestle Roman Reigns when y'all have not been using Nakamura correctly? He's been on tag team with Rick Boogs, and now Boogs is hurt. So now you want to throw him in there to feed the tribal chief. And it's not fair to, you know, to the fans who, you know, who actually wants WWE to get better. WWE, of course, my beef with that is they're not even catering to the pro wrestling fan. They're catering to new set of eyes. They're catering to casual fans who don't know nothing about the history of WWE. And so that's who they're catering to. And the fact that I said they have not built anyone they have not built anybody that I feel that has been a strong baby face for Roman Reigns. Nakamura is not a strong baby face. There, far as the only guy that I could think of that might give him a chance is Drew McIntyre. But why do that now when you had a chance to put Drew McIntyre to beat Roman Reigns back at Survivor Series, which you didn't, so you made the Universal Champion much bigger than the world champion because it's universal, you know. And so now, if Drew McIntyre does beat Roman Reigns, are you going to be happy with that? Because I'm sure it won't. And the fact that most likely that Cody, I was talking to my boy Henny from Henny Wrestling, and he said most likely they're probably going to push Roman Reigns to wrestle Cody probably in SummerSlam. But we're talking about close to 4 months from now. How much are you going to push him? Are you going to be, he going to beat everybody? I mean, and if he loses to Seth Rollins now again at WrestleMania Backlash, does it legitimize him as the number one contender? But then again, WWE don't believe in rankings. They don't believe in that. They're just going to throw anybody in there. And right now with Cody Rhodes and I think in Raw, because now that's the power right there, and being that Raw right now don't even have a world champion because Roman Reigns and SmackDown, he holds both belts. I'm surprised USA Network hasn't started bitching yet about that, that they don't have a world champion in the program on Mondays. So the only guy right now that you're going to have to be pushing all out is for Cody. But once that push with Cody is over, is Cody going to be the one who's going to beat Roman Reigns for the belt? And then once you get that, Cody gets whatever he wants because, he wants to do it for his father, whatever, is Roman Reigns going to take the belt back? Because I said this, if Roman Reigns was to decide today to retire, WWE will be in trouble because they have not built anybody in there that's going to carry that show the way it does. Right now, the only interesting part for me as far as WWE is the unification tag team title match that's coming up with RK-Bros and the Usos. That storyline is getting good, but I still see Randy Orton turning on Matt Riddle. That could happen. And I see the Usos winning the tag team belts and unifying them because they're going to try to push the bloodline. They're going to have all the go. That doesn't always work. A lot of factions, I've seen factions that have won all the titles. Evolution did it. The Horsemen did it. And sometimes it doesn't work because now you got one set of group having those titles. And then the rest of everybody is over with. Another thing that I saw that I said to myself, it's shameful, very shameful what they've done to this man. But he signed a 5-year deal, so they gets what he gets. And I'm talking about Drew Gulak. They got Drew Gulak now being the interviewer. That's the storyline with that. And he pretty much this week was embarrassed by Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair hit him in the nuts, and then she put her figure eight on Drew Gulak. Drew Gulak was tapping and saying, "I quit, I quit, I quit." Now, I don't know what he has done to anybody in the back for them to put him in this segment, but I think this is disgusting to me for a guy who has so much talent like Drew Gulak, and they put him in there with Charlotte and Flair, and she embarrasses him. And I shook my head the minute I saw him doing an interview. I said, this is what they're doing with Drew Gulak. Ricochet finally, I see they're pushing him. He's the Intercontinental Champion. He actually beat Jinder Mahal yesterday. So that was something that I said, okay, it took you 3-4 years to push this guy. But I'm not too crazy about Ricochet because Ricochet is a WWE Shield. The fans were trying to make sure that he gets pushed, and he pretty much made the fans look foolish. So I mean, honestly, to me, when it comes to WWE, I don't know what they're doing as far as that is concerned. But I think my biggest concern with WWE right now is the fact that if a guy like Roman Reigns decides to leave WWE and says retire, WWE will be in so much trouble because they have not built anybody that is well deserving of getting the top spot. Drew McIntyre, I don't want to hear that people all about Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre was a pandemic champion. Okay, he held the fort down for the meantime. And don't give me the Brock Lesnar because I'm tired of seeing Brock Lesnar. Lesnar is already boring. The guy, I mean, I used to be a big-time fan of Brock Lesnar, and they have just killed his whole character. He's still the beast when he wants to be the beast, but and for those who follow WWE, if you want to look at Brock Lesnar when he first came into WWE, look at all his matches during that era of 2002 all the way till he left WWE the first time. And you see the difference of how he wrestles to the way he wrestles now. All he has is suplex, F5. Suplex, F5. That's it. They just turned this guy to two moves. That's it. And the F5, I still consider that a very impactful move. But to see this guy do the same moves, it's crazy. Same thing with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, now the only thing he has added to his arsenal is that guillotine choke that he puts people to sleep. Other than that, Superman punch, spear. Superman punch, spear, clothesline. It's only like four moves these guys have. And this is why I don't watch WWE, because it's just these wrestlers just doing four moves in a match. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and like I said, I'm not here to knock down WWE, because a lot of people get all personal and whatnot. I got my Facebook right now on restriction and whatnot, not because of wrestling, but it's on restriction because of stuff that happens online. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing with the wrestling scene and social media. I mean, I see people, WWE fans, they just go above and beyond with the craziness of the stuff that they talk about. And it's just like, dude, it's not that serious. It's not that serious. Toni Storm, she opened up about leaving WWE, say it wasn't the place for her. I agree with her because the girl is that talented. And WWE, and she did well in the NXT UK, but once she came into WWE, you know, it was crazy. She said in an interview, she said, I felt really overwhelmed in that moment, and I went 2.5 years without going home at all because of the pandemic. That's after a life about 7 years on being on the road. So she was out there already before she got to NXT UK, okay? And then she said, I left for England about 7 or 8 years had passed. Then I take into account the amount of negativity you hear about WWE, and add that on top of it. So I'm not saying I have a problem with WWE at all. I'm actually really grateful for the time I had there. I mean, I'm sure she's grateful for the time she had there when she was in NXT UK, NXT the Black and Gold. The problem began once she came up the roster and they put her in the ring with Charlotte. And Charlotte embarrassed her because Charlotte plays politics in the back, just like her father used to do. So it's just sad to see a talent like that go and whatnot. And but, I mean, we'll see how she does in AEW, because Ruby Soho came in and whatnot. And then Ruby Soho disappeared from Dynamite after she lost to Nyla Rose. And now she's in Dark, whatever. And finally this week, she came and wrestled one of the twins, Robbie Renegade, but we'll see what happens, because at this point right now, it's just crazy and whatnot, and so we'll see what happens coming up. So, you know, we'll be right back with more Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Jada Red Sante, host of Turnbuckle Tabloid, and you're listening to the Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
So let's talk about AEW. And you know that I talked about that in the beginning with the AEW stuff. And tonight they're having AEW Battle of the Belts 2. So if you guys want, check that out. That's going to be very interesting. I think AEW Dynamite was pretty good compared to, you know, actually not compared to what happened to with the ending. CM Punk wrestled Penta Oscuro for the first match of the night. That was a match between these two. That was a great match. The storyline is CM Punk knee in this match. I mean, CM Punk's been having issues with that knee since his match with MJF in the Dark Collar match at Revolution. And ever since that, he has had issues with that knee. So it looks like, yes, he's going after the AEW title, but that knee is going to be an issue. It kind of reminds me of the Dusty Rhodes storylines back then with Ric Flair. I've been seeing a lot of stuff on Facebook pages and groups talking about that it's time for CM Punk to get the AEW title. He don't need the title. To be honest, he doesn't need the title. Would he win the title? Maybe down the line, but maybe this is not the time. I think his match or his time is going to come down when he wrestles Adam Cole. Adam Cole this week, of course, was supposed to wrestle Hangman Page in the Texas Death Match, and I noticed that, I don't know if it was me, but Hangman Page is always in some match where it's either Texas Death Match, Last Man Standing, or whatever. But Most of his matches are either bloody or something is going on in those matches. But the CM Punk versus Penta Escudo delivered what we expected. It was a dream match. AEW lately has been putting a lot of matches that we figure like, oh, this guy is here and that guy is here. They should wrestle each other. So CM Punk and Penta tore down the house with their match pretty much. Then they show the Jericho Appreciation Society, which I still to this day, like, I don't know when is AEW going to learn that a 5-on-3 is always going to overcome the three guys. Because, but in this one, they show a promo where the Jericho Appreciation Society came out of a private plane. All of a sudden, 2.0 got robbed by Eddie Kingston and Proud and Powerful. Proud and Powerful, again, should have been tag team champions already 2 years ago. They are wasting that talent away. And I'm sure a lot of people will agree with me. Santana Ortiz should have been AEW tag team champions a long, long time ago. Their match with FTR, there was a disappointment. But one FTR Wheeler got hurt, and then the next match time they wrestled, it wasn't expected. It didn't turn out the way I expected. Red Dragon versus Jurassic Express for the AEW tag team title. That match was one of Jurassic Express's best matches they had had. They really showed me what they're made of. Red Dragon, I thought Red Dragon was going to win. I had a feeling that maybe Christian would come out and turn on them. Christian was not at ringside, which was very surprising. I did not see Christian at ringside. But Jurassic Express impressed me, probably on one of their best matches. But Red Dragon, I attacked them after the match, and it looks like it's going to be FTR versus Red Dragon for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles. And, you know, that's going to be interesting. FTR right now is the hottest tag team right now in the industry. And, you know, anybody can say otherwise, but right now they're the tag team right now. Yuta did a Blackpool Combat Club promo. Not much to say there. MJF versus Sean Dean. This was a very, very kind of match where MJF just beats the guy up, mocks the fans, whatever, not paying attention. And then it showed the background where there was a bunch of security guards knocked down one of them with a shirt, no shirt, just thrown on the floor. And then MJF was gloating toward the barrier, and you see a guy with a security shirt, and he was standing low with the mask down, and it turned out it was Warlow. And pretty much, Warlow cost MJF another match against Sean Dean. So Sean Dean has two wins over MJF. I mean, that's more than anybody in the whole roster. So it looks now that MJF will send the Butcher after Warlow next Wednesday, as he took a payoff from Andrade. So, and then we're talking about Andrade. Darby did a promo, which they are now, promoting a casket match between Darby and Andrade. I hope that Andrade beat Darby, because Andrade's not been pushed correctly. That's the way I'm looking at it right now. Malachi Black did a promo. Will Fuego Del Sol be the next member of the House of Black? I mean, I see Julia Hart joining them, so you never know. I mean, it's going to be weird. They're probably going to get better, much powerful than the Dark Order and whatnot. So this is going to be very interesting. We saw, again, the Jericho Association or Appreciation Society versus Kingston and Black. Proud and Powerful. Again, Kingston and Powerful got overmatched in the match because it was 5-on-3. And, again, they lose again to the Jericho Appreciation Society because of 2.0 got involved. And I think it was Kingston who got hit in the back with a bat for Floyd by one of the 2.0 guys. And that was the end of the match. I mean, to me, it's just, again, they need to get more people. And I said this yesterday talking to a couple of friends. It would be cool to see if Homicide and Hernandez goes, especially Homicide and Hernandez, go into AEW and join Kingston and Proud Powerful, because they were all part of the LAX. So they can't use LAX, but they could go in there and fight 5-on-5, and that would be a cool thing. Jamie Hayter versus Tony Storm will be the first round of the Owen Hart tournament, which starts May 11th. That is my birthday. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend that show because I got other commitments. Also, we saw Marina Shafir, whatever her name is, versus Sky Blue. We saw Kiara Hogan and Red Velvet in the baddie section. So let me find out now that Jake Carhill has this new faction with Kiara Hogan and Jay Lethal. What's the name? Red Velvet. And, you know, I don't know. This baddie section stuff, that's not my cup of tea. It's just Jay Carhill does not need a faction. So I don't know why they're doing a faction for. And AEW is known for all these factions. I do not know why they do so many factions. Carhill don't need that. Don't need none of that. But I guess they need to push Kiara Hogan and Red Velvet since they're on the AEW contract. Red Velvet, Botch Queen. I really don't care for Kiara Hogan. I'm more one of her fans because she was an Impact World Tag Knockouts Tag Team Champion. And Impact, and she needs to be pushed better also because she came in losing. So she, I don't know what's going on here. Hook confronted by Tony Nese. So I don't know if they're going to have a match somewhere down the line. I think they are going to wrestle at Dynamite. Men of the Year, another promo. I really didn't want to see Ty Conti or Sammy Guevara because they are cringed. They are cringed. They're becoming the new Cody Rhodes and Brandy in AEW. And a lot of people were like, oh, but you didn't have a problem when they got together because Sammy was doing what Sammy does best and is wrestling. Now he has Ty Conti around him and it's cringe. They're trying to be the first couple. You're not the first couple. Okay, this is the same crap. You're doing the same shit. This Cody and Brandy were doing. The only difference is that Brandon don't know how to wrestle. Ty does, but still, it's cringe. I'm tired of seeing Dan Lambert with Men of the Year, talking about all the stupidity. This old man should not even be in it. It shouldn't be in the wrestling. It's just dumb. I don't understand it. Then we had Team Taz versus Keith Lee and Swerve. This was Ricky Stark's homecoming. You could tell he got emotional. This match was pretty good. And surprisingly enough, Powerhouse Hobbs pinned Keith Lee. Keith Lee suffered his first loss and a tag team match, what a way to put over a younger talent as like a Powerhouse Hobbs. But that was a shocking to me. So that right there, I mean, honestly, it was a good match. There was a couple of scenarios that looked like Ricky Stark got hurt, but I got to give him credit. The man, he's a talent and a half. But Keith Lee suffered his first loss. And that's, to me, it's cool because, you know, you're not going to be the top guy. All these WWE wrestlers coming in want to be the top guy. So that was a good move. Thunder Rosa did a promo about Nyla Rose. It was about Nyla Rose. So Nyla Rose interfered with a cake along with Vicky. Nothing big out of there. They were just promoting their match for Saturday's Battle of the Belt. The main event of the night was Minoru Suzuki versus Samoa Joe. This was a dream match. A dream match to me because two of the baddest wrestlers in the industry were going at it. It was a chop fest. At one point, you see the Samoa Joe's chest beat red and whatnot. And I was impressed. Let me tell you something. This match came to a point where these guys went at it. You know, I knew that Minoru Suzuki was going to lose the belt for the simple fact he won the Ring of Honor belt. And I guess it was just more of what Tony Khan was doing, just getting rid of all these belts away from everybody except Jonathan Gresham. Red Titus, you know, lost the belt to Minoru Suzuki, and you knew Minoru Suzuki was going to lose that belt quick because he's not going to stay in the States. He's going back to Japan. So he's not going to be able to defend the Ring of Honor TV title if he's in Japan. So Samoa Joe won that, and then you know what happened after that. I just spoke about it in the beginning of this podcast. Giant Singh, whatever you want to call, came out after Jay Lethal said that they had a present for Samoa Joe along with Sanjay Dutt, and it was a box with a box that was broken on the bottom with Jay Lethal's hand, middle finger, and the lights went out, and the rest was history. And it was the stupidest thing I ever saw from AEW. It was sad, and there's nothing else to talk about it because I already talked about it in the beginning. AEW Rampage yesterday was pretty good. The Blackpool Combat Club versus the Gun Club. There's too many clubs, but the only club, real club, is the Bullet Club. But anyway, I digress. This match was a move to push Wheeler Yuta to another level as he pinned Billy Gunn for, you know, to win the trios match. I don't know where they're going with this, the Blackpool Club. I figured they would have brought in Danny Garcia, but I guess Danny Garcia is with Jericho crew. So then we had the Butcher versus some guy. I don't even know. They didn't even announce it. This guy thought he dropkicked Butcher from when he went off the top rope, thinking they're going to break him down. He didn't. And Butcher just beat him like nothing. This is all to promote the match between Butcher and the Warlord coming up on Wednesday at Dynamite. So that was all about. Dustin Rhodes challenged CM Punk for this Wednesday also in a match. And CM Punk, this is going to be good. Probably going to be a good match because, you know, even though Dustin is up there in age, he could still produce a good match. We saw Ruby Soho versus Robin Renegade. This match was back and forth. Nobody was really dominating until Robin did one of those Killer Bee joint with the mask, set up the masses, went under the rope, under the ring. And I didn't even know that Robin had a twin sister called Charlotte Renegade. And she tried to interfere, tried to do a switch to beat Ruby Soho, but it didn't work. Ruby Soho ends up getting the victory. Then we saw the AEW Championship versus, you know, the Texas Death Match, if you want to call it, whatever. And this was a pretty good match. I mean, there was some crazy, crazy bumps in this match. Adam Cole, at one point, landed spine first on the back of the chair while the chairs were still standing, and they were like this, and his whole back hit the edge of that. And I was like, wow. Then after that, we saw Adam Cole caught Paige with a super kick. While Paige was trying to do that top moonsault to the outside, he caught him midway down with a super kick, which was ridiculous. Then Adam Cole got caught in the top rope. Meanwhile, when he got caught, you know, Adam Page decided to throw him off the top rope with a what is it called, the fallaway slam onto the chairs. There were like five or six chairs laying on the damn mat in the ring. Then Adam Page then grabbed a bar wire chair, brought it in, was about to hit Adam Cole after tying him up with his belt, but, you know, kind of felt bad. But then, you know, Adam Cole low-blowed him, but Adam Page came back and then grabbed the bar wire, wrapped it up as a sleeve, and tried to hit Adam Cole with it, but he couldn't. But then at one point, Adam Page then go and grabs the bar wire, wraps it on Adam Cole's head, and the dead eye webbed the freaking wire, wrapped him, Adam Cole's head, and dead eye him on a table outside. And Adam Cole loses the match to Adam Page. So I don't understand. I figured that he was going to win this. But again, Adam Cole loses another title, another crazy match. Actually, Adam Cole loses another crazy match. And Adam Page regains the title. So I don't know where they're going with this. Because unless Kenny Omega is still not, you know, fully healed or not coming anytime soon, I don't know what they're going to do. So we'll see what happens with that. We'll be right back with more Chokeslam Wrestling Report. So let's continue on here, and let's talk about some of the wrestling news and rumors and stuff that, you know, happened during the week. Well, for one, I think the top it all was this week for me was last night. I went to the House of Glory Tribulation. It was a good show. We had a six-man match for the six-man cruiserweight title. We had Casey Navarro versus Ghetto Ninja versus Amazing Red, Michael Fame, and the Encore and Mantequilla. This was a crazy match. Amazing Red caught a chair shot to the face last night that I was like, there was no way he was able to block that. Casey Navarro swung a chair, a plastic chair, at Amazing Red, and Amazing Red didn't have time to cover his face, and he got blasted right in the face with that chair. The ending of this match saw Casey Navarro winning the belt. The whereabouts of Amazing Red's injury are not known, but he took a chair shot last night. I was like, wow. It was crazy. We saw the tag team of the main event versus the Rep. The Rep is a tag team from Philadelphia. Now, I don't really know their names individually, but that's the tag team. The main event is, oh my God, I forgot. The Master of Ceremony, and the other one's called Lion something. But they are very, very popular tag team in there. They're trying to get a shot at the Briscoe Brothers for the House of Glory tag team. They beat the Rep. Carlos La Sombra Ramirez, who is a backup to all the big gun for Charles Mason, had a wrestling match versus Sweet Cheeks. He defeated him like nothing. Afterwards, he chokeslammed his valet or whatever she is. He chokeslammed them straight to hell, which was crazy. Tasha Steeles, the Impact World Champion, the Knockouts Champion. I got the pleasure to meet that young lady. That young lady is a sweetheart. She is the Boricua Badass, though, you know, and I was very happy to meet and greet her last night. She was very, very nice. She went against Natalia Markova, another female that I met last month, the House of Glory Champion. And these two ladies went at it. I mean, Markova was pretty much dominating most of the match until they took it to the ring floor or to the outside into the crowd, and they both got counted out. But Natalia ended up attacking Tasha Steele not once but twice, and then she hit her with the belt. So most likely, Tasha Steele will be back at House of Glory. Then we saw the House of Glory Ground Jewel title match between Charles Mason and Low-Ki. Charles Mason and Low-Ki went at it. At one point, you saw Charles Mason bleeding from the nose. And it looked like Low-Ki was going to win the match until the lights went out. And all of a sudden, you saw Jeff Cobb and TJP attacked the Crown Jewel champion, which was Low-Ki, and they beat him up. And Charles Mason, the new House of Glory Crown champion. So that was crazy, but and they continued to beat up Low-Ki until the Briscoe Brothers came in, and that was the main event, the Briscoe Brothers versus Jeff Cobb and TJP. Fortunately, the Briscoe beat TJP and Jeff Cobb on a hard-hitting match, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to meet Jeff Cobb because Jeff Cobb was doing meet and greet after the event, which I did not know. I had a feeling he was when I saw him, and I was like, oh, this sucks, but maybe next time I'll get to meet him. So that was the House of Glory stuff that happened yesterday. Let's talk about MLW creating a new Caribbean champion, expanding partnership with the IWA in Puerto Rico. They will also be retiring the old Caribbean championship that Octagon Jr. has right now. And it's the reigning MLW Caribbean champion. A new championship has been commissioned. It could debut in MLW King of Coliseum on May 13th. So that's going to be cool. Billy Corgan. And before I go to the NWA, there was another situation in MLW that happened. And that was the details behind MLW brawl that led to LaParks being fired. The family of LaParks attacked Jacob Fatu in a match that supposedly was a planned angle. Then after that, however, the real punches were thrown by Park, El Hijo de la Park, and Park, and L.A. Park Jr., followed by a dangerous chair shot on Fatu. Also, Alex Hammerstall was said to have recognized this and went over to try to help and getting cracked with a chair in the process also. The word is that they went into business for themselves. According to LaParque, it said that he did this because when he was in WCW back in the days, he thought, you know, that they didn't respect him, whatever, and he felt that he had to protect his kid and show the kid that this is what you do to get feared. Well, Kurt Bauer decided to fire them. So, and they tried to apologize, and Kurt Bauer wasn't in there hearing it. So, there you go. LaParque Jr., all fired because they went to business for themselves. So, now, they may not get booked in the United States. They're going to have to go to Mexico and stay in Mexico because, you know, these, I don't know. That was a stupid move. I don't understand that. So, let's talk about Billy Corgan. The wrestling says the wrestling community doesn't understand a product not screaming for their attention. He's talking about NWA. So basically what you're saying is you're not doing anything to grab attention. So, and you're just going to be the same NWA and whatnot. And right now you got one of the hottest MVP wrestler in the world named Matt Cardona, your NWA world champion. And right now, what do you think Cardona is doing? Cardona right now is putting the NWA logo wherever he goes because the man is carrying like 7 damn championships. He even put on Twitter that his bag is getting heavy. Has he collecting? He's a real belt collector, reality, if you think about it. And Billy Corgan's talking about, you know, Dave, his product, not screaming for attention. So Corgan has worked for Reestablish the Brand since purchasing it in 2017. And they don't understand. They don't understand a wrestling product that is not constantly screaming for the attention, as opposed to a wrestling product, which is pivoting so that if we have an opportunity for greater success, we'll be ready to go. I call it turnkey. If you gave me a bunch of money and poured it on the NWA, this product will get bigger, faster, in ways that people can't understand because we're building something from the ground up. Billy Corgan, stop. You don't know. First of all, when you and Dixie Carter partnered up a couple of years ago, you and Dixie nearly put Impact out of business. Billy Corgan does not know nothing about wrestling. He doesn't know nothing about booking. And most of you may not agree with me about this, but Billy Corgan, him holding on, you know, owning the NWA, is not good for business. It's not good for NWA. The man doesn't know anything about the product. He's trying to bring back the old school 1980s, 90s NWA. It does not work in this time and this age. It does not work. This may be good for the old school wrestling fans, probably like myself or whatever, that may like that. I don't like that anymore because I have evolved. I have evolved as a wrestling fan. I like the way things are now. You know, once in a while, you'll get a wrestling match that reminds me back in the 80s, but he doesn't have anything there. And to be honest, you have a bunch of Mick Carters in your roster, with exception of all Aldis. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and it's now you got, I think the Pope was supposed to get a match against Cardona. Cardona right now, let me put this real quick. Billy Corgan talks about not having attention, but listen, again, Matt Cardona is bringing all the attention. And you should be happy that he's bringing the attention because he's the NWA world champion. So, I don't know. Some of these guys, I don't get them. 01 President says Shinya Otani is conscious but can't move his limp. That was the report that came in on, I believe it was Tuesday. Shinya Otani is a guy who wrestled in the past. It's probably, shouldn't even be wrestling, to be honest. He said, this was on April 11th. This was on Monday. It said, gave an update that in Tokyo Sport, the Shinya Otani saying he hasn't changed. He's conscious but can't move his limb. Currently, he's being treated by a doctor. As for the official diagnosis, we are waiting for a reply from the hospital. And Otani made his debut in 1992 as a young lion in New Japan. He's a former IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, 2-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion, and 01 World Heavyweight Champion. So this was the thing. He was, you could say, pretty much paralyzed as of Monday. But then there was an update that came in to inform them that Otani underwent surgery on April 13, 2 days later, for the cervical cord injury. Otani has been transferred to a hospital for the next treatment. So he has a cervical cord injury, which that's pretty much stuff that you might stay paralyzed. They haven't said that he's been able to move his limbs or whatever. And the guy's old. He's up there in the 60s, and he was there wrestling. I don't get this with some of these wrestlers. I understand you love the sport, but you need to retire and go away. I mean, you succeeded, whatever, but, you know, it's crazy. Blake Christian says, I want to challenge John Moxley for the GCW belt, world title. Moxley's still the GCW world champion, and right now, Blake Christian is challenging him. But I don't see Moxley losing the belt to Christian unless he is leaving AEW and going back to WWE, because that was the rumor running around that, oh, he's probably going to go back to WWE. His contract is up. His 3-year contract is up, blah, 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 you know. But again, Blake Christian said that he wants to do more of that in the future, and specifically he wants to be the one to take the GCW World Championship off John Moxley. But it's up to Moxley if he does it. The Good Brothers confirm Impact contract expiring, say they're loyal to Impact. Deal's up on July 17th. In reality, where the Good Brothers are going to go? They're not coming to AEW because, you know, the AEW roster tag team is already cluttered. They're not going, they're going to stay with Impact for the simple fact they could go to Japan and wrestle over there and still be Impact, being the world champion. And Impact needs new tag teams. They need to do more with the tag team scene. That's the way I look at it. You know, they still got other wrestlers in there that they could do and do what they have to do. You know, Brian Cage hopes to work both with AEW and the Ring of Honor shows. I see it happening. He said, I know there's a lot of talk and rumors about Ring of Honor. What's next? What's going to happen? There's stuff I know, and there's a lot of stuff I don't know. So a lot of stuff a lot of people don't know. It does look like we'll hopefully be doing both at the same time, and I'll be part of it. I'm never one to turn down the work, which is cool. Juice Robinson, his contract is up somewhere in May. I think in May, because his contract ended in January and New Japan extended it. Now, I don't know if he's going to leave New Japan in Japan and stay here in the state and wrestle for New Japan Strong. That could happen, but we'll see. We'll see, because there's a lot of stuff going on now as far as, you know, when it comes to New Japan. They're going to have Windy City Riot tonight from Chicago, which is going to be cool. And New Japan just had Hyper Battle last week. So, they, you know, New Japan is still doing their thing and whatnot. So, we don't know. We'll see. I mean, but, you know. We got to stay around, see what happens. I know tonight you got the Battle of the Belts. Then you have Windy City Riot. AEW, again, putting wrestling show right behind New Japan. I think the New Japan show starts at 8 or 9. So that is going to be cool. That is it for me today, guys. I hope you like the new look on my presentation on my video podcast. Remember, you could also listen to this at my audio podcast through, you know, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. You know, you can listen to this anywhere if you don't have a chance to watch the video on YouTube. So this is cool. Also, guys, if you want to check my merchandise store that supports my podcast, you can go to tcwr.veryimpressive.com. That's tcwr.veryimpressive.com, and you could get this shirt. Let me put it this way: the Chokeslam Wrestling Report. I got this on hats. I got this on shirts. There's another different type of shirt with this logo on it. Also, I have hoodies there in case you guys want to get it for the winter next year. Support the podcast. Support the podcast. This helps my podcast greatly. Also, if you want, you can subscribe to this channel, the YouTube channel. Hit that notification bell for new uploads for every week. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook. Where else you can find me? On Twitter. Especially, I always on Twitter putting my thoughts on that. You can see it right there on the on the screen. You see the ultimate one for Twitter. That's where you can follow me, the Chokeslam Wrestling Report, on Facebook and on Instagram. So check that out. Also, guys, support my peoples. Support my boy, Wrestleville, Vince Berry, and his book, Wrestleville Book. He has that out. As we speak right now, also my boy Danny Matos, he has a book out there called Swerve. You can find that on Amazon, on Barnes and Nobles, you know, and help out my peoples. Shout out to my boy Jay Santee. It was good to see you last night on the House of Glory show. We definitely got to hook up again to do another show together and whatnot and get your thoughts on everything. Yeah, we'll talk about that Wheeler Yuta because we were talking about the Wheeler Yuta situation. So we could talk about that. So that is it for me, guys. That is it. So until then, guys, be safe. I see you next week again. This will also be on audio version. So check it out if you don't get a chance to see me here on the YouTube channel. But support the podcast, support everything. I want to thank everybody who supports the podcast and, you know, and acquire one of these shirts and whatnot. And much love. Until then, guys, be safe. Hit the music.